It is 1:45, so let's come to the Lord in prayer, shall we pray? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for the free opportunity of being able to be here this evening. And Father, we pray for your presence with us. We pray, O Lord, for those who are not here, we do pray, O Lord, that you will bless them and encourage them. So, Father, we commit ourselves and our time into your hands for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. A few months back, I had a quick look with you at Solomon, or beginnings of Solomon's life, with the sin of Bathsheba and David, and the birth of King Solomon. The thought really running through my mind was his wisdom, and the wisdom that is given by God to man. So if you'd like to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 2, and we'll have a short reading from there, verses 1 to 12. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their hearts and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also that Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did what he did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Aner and Amasai, the son of Jether, whom he killed, and he shed the blood of war in peacetime, and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist, and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore, do according to your wisdom, and do not let his grey hairs go down to the grave in peace, but show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, and the Gideonite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for so they came to me when I fled from Absalom your brother. And see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite from Behurim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Manani. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man, and know what you ought to do to him, but bring his grey hairs down to the grave with blood. So David rested with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned at Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Last time we got as far as Solomon's brother coming to try to take the kingdom from him, and he had to be eliminated, killed. We have a title for anything. This is called the Going Down of a King, and the rising of another. For those of you that like time limits, this is approximately 1015 BC. Solomon's age was between 18 years old and 20, so he was quite a young person. David charges Solomon. This is what his dying charge to his son, who's taking over the kingdom. We read that from verse 3. Verse 6, do according to your wisdom. David is appealing to Solomon to use his wisdom in the way that he now sits upon the throne with the judgments he has to make. What runs through my mind is, what is wisdom? Well, I looked it up in a dictionary, of course, and it says wisdom is being wise. Now, that's really a great start. So, I have to be wise. What do we have to possess to be wise? But it goes on to tell us we have to have experience. Solomon is 18 to 20 and he has to be wise. He has to have wisdom. And wisdom is gained from experience. The second thing, it's gained from knowledge. Now they often say, you can't put an old head on young shoulders. And yet you have a young king taking over the reins from his father, who has passed on. He was crowned prior to his father's death, so we had all that last time, and he's now sitting upon the throne, and he has to be wise to govern this people. So he has to have experience, knowledge, and the power to apply his experience and his knowledge to the events that are going to occur. And not just to apply it, but to apply it with common sense, thinking the whole thing through, and also with fairness when he applies that wisdom. Now his father has said to him, you are a wise man. We follow that wisdom. Verse 5, David starts to give him his encouragements, starts doing, giving him the list of what he should be doing. He was counselling his son before he died. Verse 6, he is to do it with his wisdom. Verse 7, he had to show kindness to those that had shown David kindness. This is all about the throne of Israel being kept by the power of God. If you follow my words and the law of Moses, God has promised me, David said, that there will always be a king upon the throne of Israel. Now we can look with hindsight that this didn't occur. We know it didn't occur. David is laying down a pattern of wisdom for his son to follow. He tells him again that he is a wise man in verse 9. And he's not a fool. So he must take into consideration the people he's dealing with. He's dealt with his brother, who wanted Abishag as his wife. And Solomon saw through that. He saw that this was a ploy to take the kingdom from him. And for his treason, he was executed. Verse 9, come and read. Now therefore, do not hold him guiltless. This is Joab, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. and know what you ought to do to him, but bring his grey hairs down to the grave with blood. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, but this isn't vengeance, this is justice. The kingdom is at stake. Adijonai, can't read my own writing, it's terrible. Adijonai had forfeited his rights. Solomon has to put him to death. So we go down the words. Okay, right. So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. David reigned for 40 years. Now verse 12, then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Abijonai the son of Haggath came to Bathsheba, and that's the story of him coming to Solomon's mother and asking for the hand of Abishag to be his wife. And it was treason. So Solomon saw this. He dismissed his mother, because she wanted to do it as a favour. He dismissed his mother and he had his brother executed for treason. Verse 26, we read on Abiathar, the priest, the king called for him. And he said, Abiathar, go to your own fields, for you are deserving of death. But I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you were afflicted every time my father was afflicted. This priest was the high priest, and Solomon opposed him because he'd sided with his brother. So he was a party to treason. Solomon used wisdom. He didn't have the priest put to death, although he was deserving of death. He took him from his high office and told him to go and work in his own fields. The priest taken from his office, that high priestly office, and he was the last in the line of the sons of Eli. And if we read verse 27, we say, so Solomon removed Abiathar from being priest of the Lord, that he might fulfill the words of the Lord which were spoken concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh. That God pronounced that because of the sins of Eli's sons, the priesthood would be taken away from him. And this is in Samuel's time. So in time, God's word was fulfilled. Then you have Joab, leader of the army of King David. He was there because he'd murdered the two previous leaders. And they had had some civil war, and they had had some fighting, and they had been enemies. But they'd been given the rank of leaders of the army. But Joab was jealous, and he went and murdered them in cold blood, and took the job on himself. And because of that, David could not trust him. But he was still David's man at the time. But here, in Solomon sitting on the throne, he'd sided with Solomon's brother as well. So there was no course for him but execution. And he went and held on to the horns of the altar, and he didn't want to come out. But the executioner went in, and Solomon said, if he wants to die there, let him die there. So there they murdered him, put him to death for treason and for the blood that he brought to the house of David. And then he was buried with his family. Solomon's justice. He's removing from the kingdom the elements of treason. He's establishing the throne. And he's David's son. And he's doing it with judgment and justice. Verse 34. So Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and struck and killed him. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. The king put Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, in his place over the army. And the king put Zadok, the priest, in the place of Abiathar. Solomon is now putting his own men in places of authority and power. This is, again, an 18-year-old to 20-year-old man, young man, taking the reins of power of a kingdom into his hands. He's following the guidelines that his father has laid down for him, and he's going forward to do those things. Verse 36, then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there anywhere. For it shall be on the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for a certain that you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own heads. This is the man that cursed and threw stones at King David when he was fleeing Jerusalem when Absalom had rebelled and caused treason. This is the man that he was one. He was a Benjaminite and he was of the house of Saul. And so he could be a potential protagonist to the kingdom. And yet Solomon is showing him kindness in a way, because he was worthy of death, but Solomon isn't putting him to death. He's giving him bounds to live in. And you follow the story through. He is put to death 3 years later, but because he broke the rules of his confinement in Jerusalem. Two of his slaves ran away. Being the type of person he was, he ran after them across the brook and he brought them back, but Solomon didn't have that and he was put to death. He was executed for disobeying the rules that Solomon had laid down. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Knowledge and experience and the application of that knowledge and that experience. Come to chapter 3 of Kings. Again, I'll just give a short reading. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord, and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeah, on to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. Now that place had been sanctified by Moses at one point, therefore they would all go to sacrifice there. There was an altar built by Moses there. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the high altar at Gibeon. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what shall I give you? And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for long life for yourself, or have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there have not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant. And then the next thing straight after this, we get the story of the two women, the harlots. We all know what the harlot was, and these two women lived in the house and stayed in the same room. We know of Rahab, who was a harlot, and she ran, as it were, a guest house. And I would imagine these two women were of the same trade. And they both became pregnant. And you know the story, that one in the night led on it on the baby and it died. And she sneakingly swapped babies. And then we hear that this case comes before the king. Two prostitutes baying over one alive child. They didn't just go to the palace and ask the king to sort this out for them. They'd probably gone to the judges of Israel and said, "This woman has taken my child." "No, I haven't, it's the other way round." And the judges, trying to be fair and honest according to the law of Moses, because there was two women and no third party to substantiate either person's case, they couldn't judge between these two women who was honestly telling the truth. So they went to the highest court in the land, which was the young king. Again, this young king, and he decides, and it doesn't sound very clever, it sounds rather brutal, get a sword and cut the live baby in half, and so they could have both. Some ancient writings say that they had the dead child there as well, and his judgment was to cut both babies in half and share them out. And you and I know that the story goes that the woman who was the real mother had compassion upon the child and would far prefer her child to live in someone else's house as someone else's child than see it put to death. And when she pleads with the king has discerned this is the best way to get the truth from both of these women. The mother pleads for the life, And the other woman says, no, if I can't have him, then why should she not? She can't have him either. Cut the baby in half. And Solomon's judgment was such that he said, give the child to the mother who wants to keep the child alive. Wisdom. He's asked for wisdom. He's asked that God would give him an understanding heart and a heart that would measure up to what God's standards were. And God said, I'll give that to you. No one else will be anything like you again. But you must follow me as your father David followed me. And again, looking back, we know that David's life wasn't perfect. And yet God showed him great mercy and great blessings. So even if we, in this time, make mistakes, we can come before the Lord Jesus himself and ask for forgiveness. For he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins before him. But Solomon, this young man sitting on the throne. Verse 1, Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Solomon's treaty with Pharaoh, this Pharaoh was probably a Pharaoh called Salomon, S-A-S-L-A-M-O-N. And he was the next to last Pharaoh of the 21st dynasty. It's good, this archaeology, isn't it? So we can place Solomon in time, we can place him. And he's made a political alliance with Pharaoh, and he's taken Pharaoh's daughter as his wife. Most ancient Jewish writings tell us that this Pharaoh's daughter became a convert to Judaism. And therefore she was held in some writings in high esteem. But what do we know about her? Got a couple of texts or references. If you like, we'll turn to chapter 7. And we just read verse 8. Now the house where he dwelt had another court. This is Solomon's house where he built a court. He finished the house of God. Inside the hall of like workmanship. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken as wife. So she is now living with Solomon in the city of David, esteemed. Chapter 9 and verse 16 gives us this inkling. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Yizar and burned it with fire and had killed the Canaanites who dwelt in the city and had given it as a dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. And then Solomon rebuilt those cities and gave them back, and Israelites went into them. In chapter 11, we find this, verses 1 to 3. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites and the Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. And it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after their gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. What a sad end to such a good beginning. wisdom then must be applied when we get it and give it. Experience, knowledge, and application. And we've been given those things. And the wisest man's heart was turned with 700 wives. I can't imagine what that would be like, let alone the 300 concubines. Power, money, status. And where he wanted wisdom, he was given wisdom, and yet in this one thing, he did not show wisdom. And now, God, we give you thanks and we give you praise for the blessings that we take so often for granted. Lord, again, we think of Michael as he's unwell, and we pray, O God, that in your mercy you would lay your hand upon him and restore him to health and strength much quicker. And for all of us, Lord, would you just give thee the praise and the thanks for the measure of health and strength we enjoy day by day. We thank you, Lord, again, that our times are in your hands. We think again of absent friends this night. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless them and keep them. Those that are having to journey, we pray, O Lord, that you would give them journeying mercies, that they would arrive home safely and well. So, Father, we pray now for your presence as we depart this place, and until we meet again, together here or at Jesus' feet, we pray for your presence to be with us. Amen. Shall we say the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.